I'm going to read a few passages of Scripture to you, not many. The first one I'm going to read this morning is from John chapter 15. I'll be giving you some others if you want to follow along with me, and just some quoted passages of Scripture that you may want to remember. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. When Jesus was talking to his disciples and those that were following him, these things, St. John chapter 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my love, or that my joy, may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This word is spoken to all of God's children, all of those whom he's called, and they've responded to his call. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. His purpose in your life is that his joy would remain in you, and that your joy and our joy as Christians would be full. We'd be full of joy. Amen? Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And of course, if we're full of joy, we won't have any problem with loving others as God loves us. Amen? Because we're full of his love and his joy. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Everybody say friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No, verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. A servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. I call you my friends. In James chapter 2, verse 23, and this is our text, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, James 2:23, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want you to notice, because from the Old Testament forward, even into the New Testament, Abraham is an example of those who had faith in God. They just simply believed in God. They believed in his love. They believed in his being their friend. They believed his word. They believed what he said. And when they believed, when they put their faith and their trust in him, God accounted to them, or to him, that belief and that faith for righteousness. The Bible tells us we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So we believe God, that just like Abraham did, that the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body. He was righteous, lived a perfect life, wasn't supposed to die for his own sins. He was without sin. He was the Lamb of God, perfect and blameless in every way. He took our sins, the Bible says, in his body on the cross, and was forsaken by God when he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For the first time in all eternity, God turned his back on his Son, because he was covered with our sins. And because we put our trust in him and what he did on his own Calvary, then we are declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But not only that, as the scripture we just read, and as this scripture just says, he was called the friend of God. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, the descendants of Abraham, the Bible says there, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. The Bible tells us we are all the descendants of Abraham by faith in God. And just as Abraham was called God's friend, the scripture we just read in John 15, Jesus said that he laid down his life. He loved us. The one that loves you lays down his life for his friends, and that you are my friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I call you friends because I have revealed to you everything that my Father has told me to reveal to you. Amen? So I am talking to you this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject of Jesus, our friend. Jesus, our friend. Many Christians have a difficult time or problem sometime in their relationship with God. I know even a lot of pastor friends that I've known that I know about, including myself. At one sometime or another, the enemy comes and we have a problem with wondering whether we're really right with God or not. Doubts come into our head and we have a spiritual battle going on. And some just don't have or enjoy much of a relationship with God because it just seems too difficult. Their idea is that in order to please God and have a relationship with Him and in order with Him, and they have to do it in order, and it's in an order, it's in orders and regulations, rules, study the Bible all the time, become a servant, and there's all kinds of other ways and things that they feel like that they have to do, and sometimes they don't make it. Well, we never make it, do we? We all sin and come short of the glory of God. It's very difficult because we want to seem like we want to serve Him. And we are supposed to serve Him, but we don't want to serve Him because we're trying to be righteous or we're trying to please Him in the sense that we're trying to be good or whatever. We want to serve Him because He loves us and we love Him. And because we know Him not only just as a child, but as a friend. Actually, I heard somebody say the other day, some minister, and I thought about this, in fact, and what I have a sermon that I preach on the prodigal son. There wasn't just one prodigal son, there was two prodigal sons. There weren't one that took his substance and his inheritance and ran off and spent it in the world. The other one that stayed home and was doing all the work and was doing all the service, but the issue was with the father that neither one of his sons, had a friendship or a relationship with him. As a matter of fact, I think the one that remained home, the prodigal son's brother, probably was glad when the prodigal son ran off. He didn't even know when he'd come back. He was out of such fellowship with his father and with his home and with his and so involved in the works that he was doing that he was wondering why they were having a party. Are you listening to me? If you read this, you read the story of the prodigal son. I think it's in Luke chapter 16. I'm not sure, but anyway. So he came in and. Why have you killed a fatted calf? I've been serving you all of this time, and you haven't killed a fatted calf for me. And this brother, this son of yours, that's my brother, that you've that's run off and wasted all of his substances and with righteous living and ended up in a pig pen. As soon as he comes home, you kill the fatted calf and have a celebration. He wasn't happy. He didn't have any love because he was a servant. He was trying to do his best, do all of his work. Others, Christians, simply just don't do anything. They neglect their relationship with God and getting along in their lives, just behaving that they're really acting like there is no God. That is, that they know that He is, that He exists, but they do little or nothing to develop their relationship with Him. They go to church occasionally, pray when they need His help. There are others that believe in God and try to show it in many other ways. Most all of these folks do not have the fullness of His joy because they don't have His friendship in their lives. They know little or nothing of His rest and the enjoyment of His daily presence, the enjoyment of hearing His voice and experiencing His power and His help, and not just religious affairs, but in all of their affairs and problems of life. God wants to be, expects to be, desires to be, sent His Son so that we would be not only His sons, but that we would be His friends. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. God is our friend forever. Aren't you glad? God's our friend forever. So His commandment is real simple. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. You're my friends. I no longer call you servants. It's very difficult sometimes, we think, to love one another. The Bible tells us to love even our enemies. But what we don't realize is that we're supposed to work out our own salvation that God has put in us. Not work it out to be saved, but work it out because we are saved. But we're not to even do that in our own strength and our own abilities. We're not. Hearing, the Bible says in 1 John, I think it's chapter 4, hearing is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. That's the beginning of God's love. For the love of God is shed abroad. Romans 5:5 says, I think, that for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. So the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 13 and 14, the last verse of 13, the last part sentence says, work out your own salvation. Verse 14 says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if we will come and submit ourselves to Him because He loves us, and died for us, and have that love, then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and along with that love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts, it's not just the love, it's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. It's not the love for God, it's the love of God, and God loves everybody, so when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and we grow in the grace and the love and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we begin to love one another, and we begin to love God because He's working in us. That's what He wants to do. Not because we're His servants, but because He's our friend. And we're His friend. Amen? It's really amazing to me, a wonderful thing, that God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to, He desires to be my friend. He desires to be your friend. Can you imagine what it means? I remember when John F. Kennedy was president of the United States. His little boy, John, was about 3 or 4 years old. And he was in his office in a big conference. And this little boy just come in and climbed up in his lap and put his arms around his neck. Did any of y'all ever saw that? And he didn't say, "Get out of here, son, I'm busy." He picked him up and loved him, and he was glad to have that experience. And God wants, He wants us to be able to come, no matter how busy you think God is. He's never too busy for us to come and just say, "Father, I just want to come into your presence, put my arms around your neck, and say I love you and thank you." John didn't know what he was doing. He was just expressing a feeling that he had for that man that was his father. And that's what God wants from us. That's what he expects. And anything less than that is we're missing out. We're missing out. God wants to be our friend. He wants to provide for us. He wants us to enjoy fellowship and have a relation with him as a friend. Not as a God or not as a Lord. And he is all of those. Not as a father, but he wants us to be his friend. Moses, not just Abraham, but Moses was known as the friend of God. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, Abraham calls Moses the friend of God in Exodus chapter 33:11. Abraham was called God's friend, the friend of God in several places. The two on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24 were sad because Jesus had died and they hadn't really understood what was going on. They didn't even understand about the resurrection, and he told them that when he was with them, right? They must not have been paying attention. Anyway, they were walking along and sad, and Jesus came and joined himself with them and walked with them, and they didn't know it was him. They didn't recognize him. And I think so he asked them, "Why is it that you guys are walking along here and you're so sad?" And they looked at him and said, "Like, well, where have you been? We were following this man, and his name was Jesus, and we thought he was coming to restore the kingdom, and they took him and crucified him, and now this is the third day, and they're saying that somebody's telling us his body's gone from the tomb, somebody stole his body, or he was resurrected, or something." God must have a sense of humor, is all I can say. But sometimes he's walking with us, he's right there, and we're having the same experiences they were having. We don't recognize him, because we have some preconceived ideas and notions about what it means in order to have fellowship with him, what it means in order to recognize that he's our friend, what it means to know that he's right there with us and that he's concerned about everything that's going on in our lives. We're busy. And so we don't have time to think about that, and the Lord wants us to think about that. That he's not just our Father, our Heavenly Father, but he is our friend. The Bible tells us in John chapter 6, that after one of Jesus' sermons, many of his disciples went away and walked no more with him. In John chapter 6, verse 65, many of his disciples walked away from him because of something he said. Then he asked the 12 disciples, "Will you also go away? Will you also go away?" No one in their right mind would want to walk away from their best friend, would they? Even though sometimes friends do things. I remember I had a good friend, and sometimes we had some fights and fusses. Sometimes we had BB gun fights. That's dangerous. But that's what we did. But we were good friends. And sometimes our best friends are supposed to be our husbands and our wives next to Jesus. Amen? Sometimes we don't even get along with them, do we, huh? Come on now. The whole matter of salvation, the good news, the gospel, is that God sent his only Son so that he could walk with us, and that not only we could be his children, but that he could be our best friend. And he's a friend, like the Bible says, there is a friend, and I don't remember where this scripture is, Psalms, I think there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I thought my brother was a friend one time, but we kind of had a falling out. He left me. We're still friends to this day, and we made up. And just like it is with husbands and wives, sometimes we have disagreements and arguments, whatever, but we still love one another. And so nothing breaks that friendship or that relationship, because we always, either one or the other of us, apologize and come back and say, "Well, I love you. You know, let's forget our difference." In other words, it's like nothing ever even happened. That's just one of those things, right? And that's the same thing in friendship with the Lord. And this is one of the most difficult things, because while there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we have an enemy. The spiritual wickedness, wicked spirits in high places, as the Amplified Bible says. And he tries to fill our minds. First of all, he tries to tempt us to do something wrong, or to say something wrong, or something that's not Christ-like, or something that would be offensive to a brother or a sister or to the Lord or whatever. And we find ourselves out of fellowship, not out of fellowship in the sense that God leaves us, but out of fellowship in the sense that we've lost the joy and the peace of our salvation. And he wants us to know that even though you do that, and we do that, and sometimes in the worst manner possible. In fact, when I was 19 years old, and God didn't do some of the things that I was expecting him to do by faith, and I could go into that long story. Now, some of you have heard that story before. I just quit. I said, "God, get out of my life. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore." It's a wonder. If I had been God, I'd have just taken Lewis Cowan and just smashed him right then and there. But he didn't do me that way. And after 4 years of being out of fellowship and not enjoying having the joy of my salvation, and knowing, and after about the first year, I didn't even care for the first year, but after the next 2 or 3 years, I spent my time going around all over the place trying to get back right with God, and he told me, "You told me to get out of your life. You didn't want me in your life, so here you are." Wow. When that preacher came by my house one Sunday afternoon and came to my door with his Bible under his arm, and told Pat and I to get over there on the couch. And he preached a sermon. And now he said, we're going to have an invitation. Get on your knees. So I got on the knees on my couch. And that, all I could say was, God, are you going to open the doors? Let me back into fellowship with you and restore the joy. When David sinned, and you can read the prayer that he prayed, when Nathan came and confronted him with this, with a story, and it was such a horrible story about a rich man that had all these sheep, and there was one poor man that had one little sheep, and it was kind of like a family. The children loved that little sheep, and the rich man had people, a man come to be served dinner, and the story that Jesus was telling, the rich man, instead of taking one of his many sheep, went and took that poor man's sheep and killed it and had it to serve. And David got so mad, he said, tell me who that man is and I'm going to go kill him. And Nathan said, you are the man. You're the man. You took Bathsheba, who wasn't your wife. You had her husband killed. And now she's having your baby. You're the man. In Psalms 51, we have the prayer that David prayed. And he said, among other things, against you and you only have I sinned, God. But what he prayed was, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Of your salvation. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. I want what I had with you. And when I begin to realize that peace, that fellowship, that relationship that I had with God before I told him to get out of my life, that I was missing that. And I wanted that back. I didn't realize what a joy, what a privilege, what an honor, what a blessing that was, that I could talk to him and I could know that he's my Heavenly Father, and he could share with me his word, and I could experience his presence in my day-to-day life. What a joy was that. And so when I knelt down on my knees in that church that day, I mean in our house, my living room that day, and all I could say was, God, is this when you're going to restore to me your salvation? And it was. I had the joy. I had that relationship. I had that peace with God that passes all understanding. I was so glad to have that back. I determined that then and there, I would never do anything again in my life to lose that relationship and friendship that I had with my Heavenly Father. And I've stumbled and fallen a lot of times, but I have never lost that. I've always repented right away, got right with God, and boy. In fact, the Lord told me, the reason he didn't squash me that day, because I wanted, well, why, Lord, didn't you just squash me that day when I said, get out of my life? He said, because you were just like a 3-year-old saying to your mom and dad, I hate you, you won't let me do what I want. You know, that's the way he looked at me. Isn't that wonderful? What is a friend anyway? Or just to put it another way, what does it mean to have a dear friend? And to be a very dear friend to someone. I'm going to give you a couple of things here and we're going to close. The word friend in the original, in the Greek, is philos. It means dear. It means someone that's dear to you. It's a friend. Someone who's actively fond of you. Someone that's friendly. It can be an associate, it can be a neighbor, it's someone who is a dear friend, somebody, and here's some things that it means. To have a good friend is to have someone who knows you very well, we could say perfectly well, when it comes to God, that is still friendly. He still cares for you. And He has your best interest at heart. He doesn't want to do anything, even though you may have offended Him. He doesn't want to do anything to offend you. He wants to forgive you and say, come on. Let's continue to be friends. Number two, a good friend is someone you know fairly well yourself. You've gotten to know whom you like and for whom you care, one for whom you care something of some anyway. And a dear friend is you enjoy spending time with them and being around them, right? We're talking about God here now. We enjoy being around our friend. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. You are my friends. I've called you my friend. Someone we know. A good friend is someone who will do almost anything they can do to help you. If they say you're in trouble, have you had a good friend when you were just in trouble, didn't know what in the world you were going to do, and a good friend just come along and said, here, I'll help you. You need to borrow my car. You need a car. You need some money. You know, that's the way God wants to be with you. He wants to be a good friend to you. A good friend is someone you enjoy being with and being around and spending your time with. A good friend is someone who has many of the same interests that you have and with whom you can share your secrets, things about yourself which other folks may not know, nor would you even want them to know. You can share things with your friend. You can't share with too many. You don't have too many friends like that because they'll get on the phone and tell all the world about you. I found out I could talk to God about anything. He's still my friend. He already knows all there is to know about me anyway. The Bible says He even knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Our imaginations. He knows everything. Where we've been, what we've done, what we think about. He knows all about us, and yet, can you get this? He wants still to be your friend. Enjoys for you to be His friend. Wants you to come and say, Father, I'm sorry, forgive me, and pick you up in His arms and drag you up to Himself and hold you and say, come on, friend. Come on, my son. Come on, my daughter. Let's get up and go on. Has no one condemned you? Isn't that what Jesus, when the scribes and the religious group brought the woman taken in adultery in the very act and brought him, drug her out? I don't know what, you know, it always amazed me about that story. They didn't drag the man out. They only drug the woman. Drug her out there and threw her down and already had the stones in their hands. They were ready to stone her to death. They quoted the scriptures. The word says we're supposed to stone such a one as this. And Jesus just sat down and wrote on the ground, and I think probably wrote some of the Ten Commandments. You shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not kill. And on and on and on. You shall honor the Lord your God. Love Him with all your heart and all, and all that. When he got through, he said, let the first one doesn't have any sin among you be the one first one to cast the stone. And boy, one by one, out of all those religious people, the stones fell out of their hands and they turned around and walked away. Now get this. Jesus, and I see the woman there on her knees in the dust, crying, knowing that she's about to be killed. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, look up, look around. Where are those your accusers?" And she looked all around and they were all gone. She saw all the rocks laying there. Amen. He said, "Has anyone condemned you?" She said, in a surprise, shocked voice, No man, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven you. I love you. I forgive you. Do your best to go and live your life for me and trust me and love me. If you fall into sins, John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful, and He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't say go and be sinless. Are you listening? A man, Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. A good friend is someone that sticketh closer than a brother. A good friend is someone you don't want to harm or you don't want to offend in any manner, and who doesn't want to harm you or defend you or offend you or hurt you in any way either. You listening to me? A good friend is someone who you can trust. He's someone that you can trust that can give you some good advice when you need it. Amen? Can strengthen you, encourage you, and help you. Someone, a good friend, and last, is someone who can comfort you and love you even when they do not know exactly what is going on in your life and you don't exactly know how to explain it or to tell it, but they love you anyway. This is like all of us. We all have things that go on in our lives, things that we don't want anybody to know about, things that we've done in the past, things that we can only talk to our best friend about. And that's God. Amen? If people knew some of the things that I've done since I was 19 years old and gave my life to the Lord and became a preacher and have been preaching for many years, some of the things that I've done and the way I've failed, I wouldn't even be a preacher here. I guarantee you. If it wasn't for God's love or for goodness, I wouldn't want to be here. I'm like Paul. He said in Romans chapter 7, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I've learned that. And I've learned I can't trust my flesh. And if I get in the flesh, and sometimes I do, and I have, and if I get in the flesh, I'm just capable of doing anything under the sun that the flesh would want to do. And brother, you talk about when you get in the flesh, you can say, woe is me, I am undone. Are you with me this morning? And God comes and says, I don't want you to be my servant. I don't want you to be tied down with a bunch of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and all of that. I just want you to understand that I love you and I want to be your friend and I want you to be my friend. Let's have a relationship together. And I'll fill you with my love. And I'll fill you with my presence. And I'll be your friend. and your joy will be full. And your peace will be the peace of God that passes all understanding. You won't even be able to understand, how in the world can I have the peace of God in being who I am? Amen? That's what God wants for us. That's what Jesus purchased for us in His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Now I say to you, go live it. Go live it. Let God be your friend. That's what He wants. Let's everybody stand. If anybody wants to come to the altar for any reason, primarily because you feel like God wants you to be here, talk to Him or whatever, you pray for somebody or whatever you need, why you ever, whatever, for whatever reason you come, you need to come, you come right now. We're going to have our closing prayer. I want to thank God for you being here, for His blessings in all of our lives, His blessing in this place, for Him being such a wonderful Father. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us, please, sir?